been prepped. You know, the world's greatest sporting precinct right in the shadows of one of the world's greatest cities.
I used to love the roar of the crowd.
Magnificent mark taken by Royal Park.
A fight kick is being delivered by the
gets inside, well inside.
And anywhere that you can see a sweeping grin. The skinhead and skin, you know, we're behind the chair.
Oh, Cochin, just a little bit of genius.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And we said last week that winning was better than losing, and I think the same applies to Dreamtime at the G, where, frankly, historically our track record has been pretty spotty. But, you know, what in the form that Essendon is this season, is it possible to get all that much satisfaction out of beating them?
No, well, it's a bit disappointing. By the way, that actually, as I have known off the top of my head for several weeks, the historical record of Dreamtime with the G, that actually draws it at 6 wins all.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, you're quite right. Aside from our 2 recent wins, we've had a mediocre record in the Dreamtime. I guess in the Hardwick era, if you were to sort of find a natural, recent historical period. Honestly, I didn't take that much pleasure out of it. Like, you know, as we discussed beforehand, based on the percentage, they were the worst team in the AFL. When you're playing a terrible team, you want, you know, someone exciting or different to play well. And, you know, our best player was, slightly interesting that Dusty is got 15 contested possessions, sort of to jump ahead in our show and analysis. But, you know, when you're looking at Dusty, Sean Grigg was slightly more inside than all and ever. But, you know, sort of when your best players are Dusty, Lids, Sean Grigg and Cochin, it's nice, but it's not life-changing for me.
No, I know. Look, I would like to make the point that regardless of whatever form the 22 life forms wearing either Carlton, Collingwood or Essendon jumpers run out against us, beating them is always a good thing. It is an unambiguous good thing.
Had the game been close in the last quarter, definitely the old feelings would have come flooding back.
Oh, absolutely. I enjoy beating all of those three teams regardless of circumstances. Like, I would never feel sorry for them to the extent of you know, ever being happy when they win. You know, I do feel sorry about the circumstances that their suspended players are in, but, you know, the club itself has put itself in this position, so no sympathy from me. They are Essendon are a frustrating team to play against. We mentioned in the preview that they're a very high disposal team, and that disposal doesn't actually translate into very many goals, and, yeah, that was pretty much the case again. They had nearly 40 disposals for every goal, which remains the worst in the competition. I thought they've got the veteran on ballers who were pretty good for them. Goddard, Zarkarakis, Cooney, and they were consistently playing with a 7-man defence. So sort of, you know, it was hard. We didn't play all that well, but I also think that Essendon were playing not to get beaten badly rather than, you know, to excite their fans, frankly. And the end result was that nobody walked away very entertained, in my book.
That's true. Also, considering we're the fifth best defence in the AFL, despite having a fairly mediocre season, and the 13th worst attack, and I haven't looked it up, but I'm sure this is probably at least the fourth year in a row where our defence is considerably better than our attack in relative rankings in the AFL. I don't think we can be too down on teams for playing boring football, because I don't think we're the most exciting team either.
No, but it's the combination was not suited to.
Could have been worse though. Could have been worse. Like it was because the conditions improved. The contested ball numbers were, it was a fairly sort of outside game, even though the contested ball numbers weren't terrible. I will say, Adam Cooney, I'm sort of, My fear with Cochin was he was going to turn into Adam Cooney, and it doesn't look like he's going to. Like, it is. All, I don't know about you, but I always find watching modern Adam Cooney so quite sad and depressing, because he's the same person. He looks the same as that brilliant young player who once won a Brownlow, but he's just in no way does he resemble that player.
I know.
In functional football way.
I know. Look, his bone on bone on his knee was a sort of very specific set of circumstances. There. Do you want to? Was there any? I mean, we've mentioned Dusty, and you know he's deservedly got all the hyper from the game, consensus best on ground from the coaches, averaging a massive career high in contested possession. Like, it's actually, most of his stats are pretty much in line with his career averages, except he's winning about 30% more contested ball. It's good to see.
It is, and perfect coaches votes. Sean Grigg, also good, as I mentioned. Ellis was sort of, I was interested in, not Brandon, typical Brandon game, but Corey, I actually thought, sort of watching live, he's doing a lot of the sweeping, and it stood out in the game because I mentioned this last week a bit, but, you know, when you've got Asprey, who's just supposedly not good at the moment, and it's not...
Well, I noticed, actually, with Asprey, that he was very deliberately taking super conservative choices.
Yep.
With his disposal, and his teammates were aware of that. Like, they were breaking hard behind him to create an option, which you don't see that often.
No, and I noticed that too, that his ball use was... he did stuff up one or two kicks, but in practice it wasn't terrible. What was even worse was he was being so hyper-conservative that we're almost always in a hold the kick after his kick, because he'd go backwards to a player in a not particularly advantageous position. I mean, I was thinking a few times he should have gone down the line, A, to be less predictable, because everyone... on Essendon must have realised what was going on, because he got quite a lot of the ball, and so they had a bit of time to observe his behaviour, and his marking was really good. We should actually mention it.
I know, 11 marks, 3 contested marks. Oh, I really liked his marking game.
The way he was thinking through his disposal was awful. Could I just go back to Cochin, Nick, and just this thing about Cooney? I just checked, and I just want to make the point that he's actually now averaging easily his career high in contested disposals per game, and it's higher than we can call it his Brownlow year, since Joe Watson probably cheated. and higher clearances too. So and his goals per game. His goal assists are okay. Very nice left foot snap. But yeah, Asprey, but going back to the point, you've got Asprey who's, for one reason or another, his disposal's not great. Morris, well documented. Hunt, obviously, is not a great kick. You need a few people who can break up the play
I enjoyed Corey Ellis having a 13-1 kick to handball ratio. That's exactly how it should be in my book.
I think that's the role I very much noticed that's the right role for him, and it was the role they were trying to use him on the back line as the guy who's the distributor, almost the sort of, you know, the Hooley role.
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Complete with Hooley's occasional less than fanatical defensive contesting as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, obviously the problem is he's just doesn't have Hooley's huge tank, but doesn't get the ball as much as well. But you know, I did sort of. So he's
on his way though. Like relatively similar beep tests as juniors, and it took Hooley a couple of years before he really got his role. But
So his game was whelming. His game was whelming, but I think it's very much it was interesting in that he was actually quite important to the structure of the team.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm very happy you signed on for 2 more years.
That's fine.
I mean, it's a completely as it should be. Like, you shouldn't be losing first round draft picks at the end of their rookie contract, Nathan Freeman from Collingwood notwithstanding. But yeah, it was solid. And Nick Vlostone signing on for an extra 3 years. I really like watching Vlossy play. Would like to see him back in the midfield a bit more, but I really liked his game, and I liked he was above 20 disposals. Yeah, more please.
Absolutely. So Griffo started really strongly, and I actually made a note. His body language is really good.
Yep. And then he's kicking for goal. Oh my god, it was such a Ben Griffiths game.
Yep, and well, not really, because he had 10 possessions rather than 11. But other than that, it was yeah, it was a very Ben Griffiths game. Bit of a shame that. My boy, Sammy Lloyd did some nice things, but hasn't actually been tearing it up the last few weeks.
No, he hasn't quite. You know, he's clearly, the Sydney game was a spectacular, wonderful highlight. But yeah, the last 2 weeks, he's been fine.
Yeah. So, Brett Lids.
Oh, he's back.
Well, he was in the best. He's been in the best last 3 weeks. But kicks, 9 hand passes, 14 kicks, and
bomb goals from outside 50.
Yeah, he's that back. Was the thing. Yeah. That kick. You just when he kicked that goal, you knew he was back. And yeah, you can see why he's selling Pontus.
I really like Shane Edwards' game. I thought at halftime he was on his way to Ayukan medal, but you know, 26 disposals, 7 inside 50s, and a goal. That was a pretty solid effort.
Yeah, and again, he's one that's been featuring heavily in our best the last few weeks. You can see I went through it, looked through it the last 3 weeks, but who's been consistently in our best? But yeah, he's clearly coming on. And
new career high in disposals again this year.
Yeah, I was actually, funny enough, you could probably hear the clicking in the background. I was just checking that, and yeah, easily, which, you know, in quite a long career, he's one possession higher than, easily, 1.5 possession higher.
Actually, coming back to Dusty, something I did notice about his career, he's increased the amount of ball he's won in every one of his 7 AFL seasons. That's a fair effort.
Yeah, so by the time he retires, we'll be getting 45 again. Yeah, so, but, I mean, the fact that Edwards is hitting a new career mark at sort of, you know, it's a very middle-aged part of his career, is a, you know, there's hope for others. What did you think of Hammer's game?
I thought it was fine.
Yeah,
it was consistent with his efforts in previous weeks. Yeah, he clunked the odd mark. Look, we 43 hit outs to 28, so he was well on top of there. But you know, he's rucking against Mark Jamar, who, if not for the suspensions, would have been out of the AFL. So you would expect him to do well. Yeah.
Mm.
Actually, no, he didn't have a single mark. Ugh. Yeah, been
Hammer. Actually, yeah. Someone made the interesting observation that, I mean, that it would, from one perspective, would be interesting to see if Goldie played this week against North, because it would be good to see Hammer tested against, you know, a really good ruckman.
That's true.
So that's one silver lining, because I'm sure, frankly, I don't want him to play because this week's Tom Gordon.
No, absolutely not. What did you think of, look, Ty Vickery, 3 goals, pretty solid game. I was struck, actually, by how much he celebrated his goal in the third quarter, but also how much the players got around him.
Yeah, I mean, Ty Vickery comes back against the bottom goal team, second bottom team, kicks 3 goals. I don't know. You know, like, would it really have hurt him if we, say, dropped him for, you know, dropping his head so badly during a game? He learned a lesson. McBean comes in, gets a game or two. Like, you know, long term, is the sort of, Ty was always going to come back and play well in this game. I don't know. I find the whole, I've seen this before.
Yeah, but I now have competing objections, because we can't build up Ty Vickery to the point where he gets offered a massive overpaid contract that earns us a very high first-round draft pick unless he has games like this. But what I was struck by with the way the players got around him, I thought that was actually an element of them trying to pump him up. Like, they realised that he's a bit of a confidence guy and that they probably reacted a bit more than they otherwise would in the normal course of events of a game that, frankly, we were in control of the whole time, and that, you know, they were just trying to, you know, get him going.
Or maybe they, maybe there's something off-field going on.
I think he might be the kind of guy who gets in his own head a bit, and so that, you know, people do, you know, they try and get him up and about and strutting and confident rather than second guessing himself.
Or calling for the ball to go over the top when he's 80 metres away from the kicker.
Yes, I know. Jake Batchelor won a lot of football, and I don't necessarily think it was all that good a thing for the team, given his disposal.
Yeah, it was. He actually had some nice kicks, but yeah, he's a. Yeah, it was. I'm feeling similarly about his game, that I'm rather mixed about whether it's a good thing or not. I don't think it hurts for him to have the odd high possession game, because he was just getting so little of the ball at times last year. It was sort of ridiculous. And you know, if you're the one who's off the hook, you're the one who should shoot, the corner three. But, I agree with your overall analysis.
Anything else?
As they say in the NBA, you're open for a reason.
Yeah.
Exactly. Three wasn't able to do it last year, so there you go. Nothing else from the game. VFL was...
There was something else from the game that I noticed that, you know, this is a completely... You know, I haven't got any inside information, but I did notice Benny Gale talking to a friend of the podcast, Ray Hall.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
During the show. I just had the thought, you know, if you're looking to refresh the ex-player representative on the Richmond board, could you do better than get Ray Hall on?
Well, according to the commentary, he now works in foreign affairs, and might be difficult to do while you're on posting.
Overseas postings are not forever. I just liked that idea so much, I'm not bothered with your technical practicalities.
No, it's definitely it definitely has some merit, that idea, and bringing some different kind of expertise. Certainly worse people you could get on the ball than Razor Ray. Would anyone be that
fairly recent former player?
Would anyone be safe in the boardroom? You've got two guys with pretty sharp elbows there in the board table.
Yeah, nice one. BFL?
By the way, just one thing on the game. I am quite looking forward to not having a Saturday night game and not having to put up with Brian Taylor.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God. You would, if not for us kicking more goals... if you just listened to what they talked about, you would have thought that Essendon won the game.
Well, I don't mind that, because they've got the dud job of trying to make people.
They've got to pump the tyres, but
Brian Taylor's sort of patronising way he makes mediocre insights and then repeats them several times in case you miss them. Oh, I find it frustrating.
I know. Look, as a parent of a young child, it's like the early on in toilet training, you know, just because you can do a poo in a toilet doesn't mean you have to show everyone that you can. And I do feel that way about BT when he has an occasional flash of insight.
Moving on, VFL. Well, we lost to the bottom team in the VFL. Bit disappointing after a bit of promise the week before.
We did. I was actually. I've got quite a few notes from this week's game. I was reasonably encouraged by a number of players. But did you want to start?
Okay, so Conker played in the midfield. I think he should play this week in the seniors, and I actually think he should play in the back line for the reasons we previously discussed about the lack of distributors.
Yeah, I would be happy to drop Taylor Hunt. He's in the plastic spoon race with Steve Morris. He's behind in my book, but look, I would in no way interrupt my day in order to argue that case.
Moving on.
You know who I think is reasonably close to a game? Now, long-time listeners of this show would appreciate how much we enjoy obscure facts about Richmond, and one of the obscure facts we've mentioned before is that it's been, to the best of our knowledge, nearly 25 years since a player has been an emergency and not gone on to make a senior debut at some stage. And that's interesting for this season because we've had all three of Nathan Braun, Dan Butler and Oleg Markov be emergencies. And particularly Broad, I think, is putting together a pretty consistent run of football. I think, you know, particularly if the opportunity arose, I think he'd be pretty close to a senior game.
Probably opportunity's probably not there this week, wouldn't you say?
Nothing springs to mind, but yeah, he's consistently winning quite a bit of ball, good feedback from the coaches. And I must say, I did Andrew McWalter, former St Kilda grand final player and development coach, made his debut giving the VFL feedback this week, and I really enjoyed his work. It was refreshingly frank.
It was actually. I wish the senior team had such a. I know no team writes up its senior team that way, but it would actually be quite interesting if they did.
It would be refreshing.
It would be. I occasionally get depressed about the state of sports media in the contemporary world. Too much media from official sources. We digress.
Yeah, Oleg Markov I mentioned, but he had a pretty good game other than being called out by McWalter for squibbing a contest. But yeah, 17 disposals, 8 marks. Yeah, for a guy who's as good an athlete as he is, he doesn't need that much ball to break open a game. So, yeah, it was good to say.
Yeah. The magic words, we saw positive AFL traits in him, which means that he's performing some sort of role that they think they can translate into the seniors. So Chol started at fullback, which was interesting.
Something we talked about in pre-season before they played him in 3 NAB Cup games up forward, but he got some pretty rave reviews for his work at centre half back, and 15 disposals and 8 marks at centre half back is a pretty solid afternoon's work.
Yeah, I'm not completely convinced he's got a future there, but whatever. It's doesn't hurt to play a game or two there in the VFL.
Yeah. Look, there was. You know, I don't mind trying out guys in different roles to see how they go, and you know, this week went well. You know, very small sample size. Interesting to follow. I was speaking of a slight change of role. My boy McBean playing at centre half forward. 16 disposals, 10 marks, 4 contested marks. That's the work rate. I think we've been waiting to see. Would be nice if you could get both the 10 marks and his more customary 4 goals. But yeah, just him evolving as a more well-rounded forward. Was encouraged.
I don't want to say anything about McLean without, because I'm fairly down on his development. Townsend.
He's still real to me.
Townsend. Yep. Well, actually, I should have gone to something positive. 17 disposals, not exactly, and described as an okay game. Which again, nice and frank, and actually probably a good summary. But 17 disposals isn't getting you back into the ones if you're a mature midfielder.
Hmm. Yeah, he would be a bit of the way back in the queue for me. Look,
Andrew Moore had 15 as well, yeah. Just in the same category. Anyway, go on.
Speaking of which, look, the last one for me, and a very encouraging story, was Nathan Drummond in a half of football in his first game back from a knee reconstruction, having 14 disposals. That's pretty solid work. I'd like to see more of that.
Hmm. And Ivy didn't was fine. Took four contested marks, but sort of not the stats that really say that he's demanding Hammer's job.
No, and you can't play him against Goldstein. Goldstein just kills him. So that's at least another week in my book.
Yep. Okay. Moving on. North.
Well, before we get there, for a guy who just can't take a trick after glandular fever in the off season, a couple of concussions in games this year, and now Ben Lennon's hurt his shoulder and is out to 4 to 6 weeks. Like, he really needs to give back that cursed amulet from wherever he got it from.
I think some of it may be self-inflicted, but you're right, he has had a bit of bad luck as well.
I'm not sure the concussions... I hope the concussions weren't self-inflicted, but...
yeah. Yes, he might not have got those concussions if he wasn't playing in the VFL, and he might not have been in the VFL if he played a bit better in the
Bad luck is... Bad luck is bad luck.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not. Like, I'm just saying that, you know, there's a butterfly... moves its wings in South America, and El Nino starts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, look, he deserves a change of luck.
Does he? Yeah. He should have a change. By averages, he should have a change of luck. But does he? Anyway, that's a very philosophical discussion.
that's too esoteric. North Melbourne. They're a pretty good team. They're not that good.
No. Go on, do you want to continue that thought?
Well, just that, you know, they've been top of the ladder, but they've done so, frankly, with a lot of close games, and Friday night we saw them playing against Sydney, who team, you know, with significantly better percentage, and, yeah, Sydney at no stage, I think Sydney looked particularly troubled. And if you want sort of a better idea of... North's relative ranking, they're sixth in the AFL in percentage right now, which is, frankly, I think, not a bad indication of their relative talent level. They're starting to have a couple of injuries as well after being virtually injury-free at the start of the year, and also having had a Jared Waite hot spell, which are sort of, you know, two signs that your season is going... just about as well as you could possibly expect. Maybe there's a bit of a loss of momentum, and the bookmakers are certainly feeling that loss of momentum as a game between first and 14th after 10 rounds is expected to have a less than 2-goal margin. So, you know, we are up to our eyeballs in this game of football, but, you know, similarly we're playing against a team that has had the wood on us in recent years.
Six of the last seven, and the one game we won was the game where
there was an asterisk against the one. Yeah,
yeah, and not Dimmer's finest moment. He said before the game that, you know, or before the round 23 game, we know they're resting. We're not, but, you know, we've done the sports science. We reckon our guys are going okay. Now, we got run over in the second half of that game. In fairness, we actually didn't play very well in the first half of the game either.
No, we got beaten badly in the contested possession in the first half. And look, it was probably the margin. Yeah, and as it turned out, I don't blame Dimmer for trying in that game because, you know, North had nothing to play for, and we had the prospect of having to travel to Adelaide for a final, which...
Actually, I do blame...
I can understand avoid that.
There was a medium strategy. I mean, there's no point in... A more flexible coach may have, say, rested some of the oldest players. Like, giving Ivy a rest might have been a good idea. But no, we played everyone. And they got... Ivy got the crap kicked out of him by Magic Door, and that would have been such an obvious thing when you got an Elding Ruckman to at least nurse one or two players, and you've still got easily a good enough team to beat North team who rested a hell of a lot more guys. But it probably would have made the difference anyway, because, you know, frankly, as we said, the elimination final, the scoreline probably flattered us, but still not one of Dinner's finest moments. So take away that game. Dimmer's never beaten has lost the last six against, and never beaten the other Scott brother in Geelong. So this is sort of a show and tell moment for me. I think Dimmer needs to, and I think the team needs to show some credibility, because last year's loss, a lot of Richmond supporters haven't sort of come back emotionally from that. As you can tell by the tone of my voice, I'm one of them. So, if we sort of play, the thing I don't fear is not the elimination final game. I fear the last year's Hobart game, where we actually played all right in general play and we got killed on the turnover. And that's what...
We did get killed on the turnover. The personnel. We ended up with Dave Asprey at centre-half forward. Like, that, it wasn't our best team. We weren't playing very good football. And, there was sort of a cascading effect. So I'm confident of a better performance of that. The issue, Goldstein is under a cloud, but he could well play, and he is part of the reason. You know, you can't coach the fact that the other team's ruckman kicks your ass every time. And, God, Boomer Harvey is still beating us, which is frustrating beyond words. But honestly, you know, thankfully, age has wearied Drew Petrie. Certainly seems to be the case. He's another long time.
He does rather seem to have a habit of fighting form against us, though.
I know, but you can't.
I'd actually not drop Asprey this week, despite his aforementioned disposal issues.
I would. He is still playable. With the lack of confidence in his disposal, if his marking is as good as it was, you've got a big positive to work with, and you hopefully can nudge that negative up a bit. I think it's the contested ball that North Melbourne are a very solid contested ball winning team. Not bad at clearances, but that was where they really beat us badly last time. So as you mentioned, the easy turnover transition goals, perennial problem. But doing something about the contested ball would go a long way, I think.
Well, we'll see. It's certainly the season's live, and if we beat them,
oh, absolutely.
The season just gets very, very interesting, and although it's obviously far too late, it sort of brings back for the first time people start, it'll win a lot of, not there's any actual value to this, but it'll win a lot of credibility in the broader zeitgeist that Richmond frankly hasn't have since that game. It's quite a big game. Like, it's definitely the biggest game we've played this year before kickoff. And, there is something, at stake, because, if we win, it's obviously season on, and if we lose, it's a hard road back to make the eight.
Hard, but not impossible, but.
Well, we've done it before, yeah. Obviously, but.
I think there would be some warranted excitement if we got up.
So to make the positive case of how we could win this game, basically all our good players now are fit. They're playing well. All our mids are in. Jack is always playing well, and Rance is playing at a level comparable with his last year's All-Australian team. So there's no... as before mentioned, Hammer may be a better matchup against Goldstein if Goldie does indeed play. There's always the hope that Harvey's finally got too old. He can't beat us forever, surely. But you can actually make a reasonable case why we should be very alive in this game. The thing that scares
Harvey
me most is...
Eight years older.
Sorry, go.
Harvey is 8 years older than our oldest player will be in this game.
Oh, he's a freak. Annoyingly so. And the thing that worries me most is the before-mentioned issue about how many people do you want the ball in the hand when we've got the when we've got the ball across our halfback and the other team's had time to set up its defence. But yeah, it's definitely an interesting game. And as also said, it's not on Saturday night, so the commentators will be much better.
I know. Friday night in Hobart. Packed the thermals. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, and apparently though it won't be too bad.
Hmm.
All right.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
See you next time.